Good morning, everyone. All right. The only thing I'm worried about this morning is that I don't walk past where the camera is. You know, I walk a lot, so I'm a little worried about that. But Jim gave me my parameters, and so hopefully I'll stay in them. But let's pray this morning before we get started. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to gather. Thank you for the opportunity to grow. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to go after this and to share your good news. May we listen to what the word that you've given us says today, and may we apply it to our hearts so that we can make a difference, not only in this world, God, but we can have a relationship with you. In your name I pray, amen. So this morning, I want us to talk a little bit about legacy. You hear that term thrown out a lot these days, especially when these politicians are talking about what legacies they'll leave behind and so on, things like that. But the word legacy, if you talk to a financial planner or maybe an estate lawyer, literally means the things you're going to leave behind to your heirs. What money you're going to leave behind, what property you might leave behind, what antiques or fancy little things you might leave behind for them. I don't know if you've seen the show Strange Inheritance. Anybody seen that? If you watch that show, it's the whole show about strange things that people leave to their heirs. It's really crazy. I think one time there was a stump that was from the Civil War. There was somebody who left a pair of false teeth from a historical figure to one of their heirs. I don't know how awesome that would be or not. There was one where somebody left a pair of blue jeans that somebody that was famous had worn. My sister and I always joke that when my father passes away, what we're going to be left with is a bunch of duck decoys. He's an avid duck hunter, and so he has duck decoys everywhere, hanging all over his garage and everything. And so that's going to be the strange inheritance I might be on that show for. But an inheritance and a legacy is more than just the physical things that you leave behind. When we talk about legacy, most often we're talking about the memories that are left behind. The culmination of somebody's life, you're referring to those acts, those memories you have of them, and what legacy they leave behind as far as what kind of things they leave for you to follow as an example in their life. We all have a legacy. We will leave something behind. If you were here early enough, and I know everybody got here at least 5 minutes before the service started this morning, you watched the video of Nick, and I think there's going to be a picture of it, Nick Walinda, walked across the Grand Canyon on a tightrope with absolutely no type of security measures in place. As far as he didn't have a harness, he didn't have anything shackled to his leg, so if he fell, he walked all the way across this part of the Grand Canyon. And when you hear the interview afterwards, it got cut off a little bit this morning, but he talks about that he's doing this because it was a legacy that his grandfather left to his family. That all the family is kind of into this acrobatics type of things. And so he wanted to have that legacy, but even more, as a Christ follower, he wanted to have the legacy of being able to inspire people, to show them what it was like to go through tense moments in life, to be able to trust in Christ in his life. That's a crazy legacy, and I'm glad my dad's leaving me duck decoys and not that one. All right? The point is, we all are going to have a legacy when we leave this world. What is it going to be? Is it going to be something that we focused on what Christ wants, or is it going to be something that we focus on that's what we want? You may leave a good legacy or a bad legacy. There are people in this world that have left diabolical legacies, historical figures that have done horrible things. There are people that have done incredibly awesome things. We'll talk about one of those later. But everyone's going to leave one. So when you start a legacy, it's up to you to decide who your legacy is going to be based off of. And so Stephen Covey always says this. He goes, when you're going to start something, you start with the end in mind. So when you create a legacy for yourself and begin to build and live out on earth what that legacy is going to be, you got to stop and you got to think where it is that you want to end up. What is it that you want to accomplish? I know that for me, starting with the end in mind is something that comes to mind when I hike. I love hiking. I love going on hiking trips. It's one of my favorite hobbies and activities. Christy goes along with me. I don't know if she goes just because she loves me or if she likes it too. But the best part of the hike for me sometimes is at the very beginning. We'll be at a national park or something. And you know, if you've ever been hiking, you walk up to that kind of kiosk trailhead, that little covered area. And they'll give you a cool map that tells you how far you're going to go and how high you're going to go. They'll give you some pictures of that final destination, what it might look like and what animals or plants you might see along the way. And then, for me, one of the greatest things is they'll tell you how fast you should be able to do that hike. And then I know that I've got to beat whatever that number is. Forget enjoying the hike. I've just got to beat the number. And so that's what agitates her most of all. But I love that because you start with the end in mind. If you're going to start a destination, you need to have a plan on what's going to happen. I don't just launch off into the woods to meet grizzly bears and not know where I'm going. I have a plan in mind. If someone was to give you $1 million, I hope that you would sit down, hopefully with a financial planner or a good, wise friend, and sit down and plan on what you're going to do with that $1 million so you don't just waste it and spend it. Research shows that 70% of all lottery winners end up losing all that they gained and sometimes even more within 3 years. It's because they didn't start with the end in mind. They didn't have a plan, even for a large amount of money like that. So with our lives, which we only have one of, we only get to spend it once, we ought to start with the end in mind. So let's begin by saying, who is it that we want to impress? A lot of people launch into planning their legacy or hoping what their legacy will be, trying to base it upon making themselves validated in their life. A lot of people want to look at what their life was worth and make sure that they were important enough to leave something behind for people to be remembered. They'll want to leave their name on the side of a building, or they'll want to give money to a foundation or create a foundation in their name. But a Christ follower isn't interested in validating themselves. They're interested in living a legacy that brings glory to the Father. A legacy that will lead others to a greater relationship with Him. A legacy that will be about how they were a worshiper of Him. We get one chance at this legacy thing, and He created us to be able to have relationship with Him, so we should make our legacy about Him. Do we realize sometimes that if at any second He just wanted to take the oxygen out of the universe, we'd die? If at any second He just wanted to do anything different within the science that He's created to shift things around, we would just cease to exist. But He created this universe around us. In Scripture, it says that He created us to have relationship with Him. That's what we're here for. So there's no greater purpose, there's no greater foundation to lay than to use the Holy Spirit and His Word to make sure it's guiding us in what we would want to accomplish with our lives and what legacy we leave behind. I want to read this passage for you. It's from James chapter 1, and it's verse 16. It says, "Don't be deceived, my brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be kind of first fruit of all He created." I love how he says there, is He doesn't change like shifting shadows. So many of the things in the world today change. What was okay to do in another part, in another time, in another century is now not okay to do. What wasn't okay to do is now okay to do. As humans, we just shift back and forth on what we think is right and what we think is wrong. God doesn't shift. He's consistent, and everything that He does, everything that He's asked us to do, it's the same. And we're called to remember that He is the giver of every single good gift. And if that's the case, then wouldn't we want to live a legacy out for Him? The good news is that if we decide to build our legacy on Him, that most likely we're going to please those around us as well. If we choose to honor Him with our life, if we choose to honor Him with Him as the end in mind, then most often we're going to please those around us, especially if they're Christ followers. Remember, a legacy is not just for an individual. A legacy can be for a country, can be for an organization, and important for us, it can be for a church. What is the legacy that South Belt Church will leave? What are we creating and focusing on? What is the foundation that we want to anchor ourselves to be able to make a difference in our community? So we have to decide, first of all, if we're going to create a legacy, who it is that we're trying to impress, ourselves, the world, other people. Well, I don't know if you've noticed lately, it's kind of hard to impress anybody else in the world. Are we going to try to impress and leave a legacy that's pleasing to God? Next, we have to decide what resources we're willing to put into this. What resources are we willing to put in? We have these limited, finite amount of resources, right? We have time, and we have money, and we have relationships. What are we going to do in order to pour those into our legacy? We can only spend so much time on certain relationships. Are they God-honoring? Are they ones that He wants us to be involved in? We only have so much we can do with our money. Are we going to put it towards the things of God, what He would want to do to further His kingdom and to make a difference in people's lives? We only have so much time. What are we going to spend our time on? A legacy, a plan for a legacy, requires that you think through those three things and decide, where are you going to spend your time? Where are you going to spend your financial resources? And where are you going to invest in relationships? Maybe most importantly is, are you going to truly commit? We live in what people are calling now the free agent culture. You know what I mean by that? You know, a free agent, a professional athlete, when they approach that free agency period in their life, man, they hold all the cards, right? Especially if they're good at what they do. And they're waiting for the perfect team to offer them the perfect opportunity so they can make the perfect amount of money and have the greatest contract ever known to man in that particular sport. And in our society today, we find ourselves doing the same thing. I don't want to commit to hanging out with you this weekend because somebody else might come to me with a better offer for next weekend or this weekend. I don't want to throw all my time in over here because over there it might be more fun or more exciting. I don't want to say I agree with you here because somebody over there might be more important to me and it might be advantageous for me to agree with them. We live in a society where we're always just waiting and hanging out and trying to get the best thing for us instead of really looking forward to what it's doing for God and what it's doing for the church. I hope that we can kind of move away from that free agent mentality and be focused 100% on being committed to Him. The Holy Spirit is who we should ask to guide us in everything that we do. We don't want to be flaky. We don't want to have limited commitments. This past Sunday night, we had the opportunity to come as a church and gather outside to do something that was to glorify God and God alone. There was no food. There was no fanfare. It was just us gathering together to remember to take the Lord's Supper and to remember what Christ had done for us. I hope you took that opportunity, and if not, I hope you were doing something at home. But those are opportunities that we have to seize on. If that's what's important to God, and He asked us to do it in a scripture, and He asked us to gather together, whether it's online or whether it's in person as a church, then we have to take that to heart and honor Him with doing those things. Sometimes God will redirect what we think our legacy is, and this is where it gets difficult. There are many examples in scripture where people thought they were going to do one thing and really thought that they were doing a God, living a God-honoring legacy, and God said, no, actually, I have a different plan for your life, and I want your legacy to be something different. I think of Moses being told that he wasn't going to enter the promised land, but it was going to be Joshua. I think of Joseph and what he thought his life was going to be like and ended up becoming a prince and leaving a legacy for his kids and his nation. I think of Paul when he started his life as Saul, as the executioner of Christians, but to become one of Christendom's greatest theologians and church builders and evangelists. But maybe the story that really hits me the most is David and Solomon. David lived his whole life, and scripture says that God knew that he was following and chasing after even God's own heart. And he made plenty of epic mistakes. But he repented and he corrected those. And David's heart's desire was for himself to build a temple. I want you to read this. I want to read the scripture to you, and it's from 1 Corinthians 22, and it's just 7 and 8. It said, David said to Solomon, Solomon is David's son, said, my son, I had it in my heart to build a house to the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me saying, you have shed much blood and have waged great wars. You shall not build a house to my name because you have shed so much blood before me on the earth. David was justified in the wars that he fought. Scripture shows that. He wasn't being punished for fighting wars. David wanted to build the temple to God, to take God's relics out of a tent and put them into a beautiful, majestic building. But God said, David, that's not going to be your job. And here's what's beautiful about that. David redirected his legacy and said, okay, this is what God said. He went to his son. He passed on what he said God told him to tell him. And instead of just being sour or upset and saying, well, my job here is done, he redoubled his efforts to collect the goods that Solomon was going to need to build the temple. He chose to make the rest of his life to do what God wanted him to do within his legacy and to prepare Solomon for what Solomon needed to do for his legacy, to build the temple. It's an amazing thing when a believer decides to go with what God wants them to do. Because of the things that David did and accomplished with his wars and with his gathering of materials, Solomon, with God's blessing, found that his whole reign was in a time of peace when he was able to build the temple, when he wasn't distracted. Building a legacy during hard times is maybe the most important time ever to build a legacy. 2020, I don't think, has been a favorite year for most of us. been a lot of really rotten things that have happened. There's been conflict. There's been disagreement. There's been dissension. We don't even have to get into the politics, and never mind something called COVID-19. And for many of us in the room, it goes way beyond that. There are relationship issues. There's sadness. There's disease. But here's the great news. Your legacy at that time is maybe when it matters the most. Being able to press on and to persevere, being able to handle it when the times are getting hard. I want to read this passage from you. This is from Paul himself. He says in Philippians 3, he says, "But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind me and straining towards what is ahead. I press on to the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenlyward in Christ Jesus. All of us then, who are mature, should take such a view of things. And if on some points you think differently, that too God will make clear to you." He says, I'm going to press on. I'm going to forget the things that have happened, maybe even some of the things that are happening, and I'm going to keep my sights on what it is that God wants me to accomplish and the legacy I need to have. That thing, that spirit that God has put into me, the things that I know that I need to accomplish in His name, those spiritual gifts, we may all be unique in what legacy we leave behind as far as individually, but we're united in what the purpose is as the church. Some of us may be called to leave a big financial gift to the church, or some of us may be called to be a lifelong teacher of young children to bring them up in the ways of God. Some of us may be called to be musicians and lead out in worship and to be known for inspiring and taking people to a different place. There's so many different individual legacies we can leave, but with one purpose: to glorify God and to pass on the beauty of His kingdom to future generations and to spread His word. I want to talk about somebody who went through a really tough time. Think of this guy. There's a man from history that got kicked out of his home. His family got kicked out of his home when he was a small child, about 5 to 7 years old. I can't remember exactly when it was. They got pushed off their land for some government issues. At 9 years old, his mom dies. Tries and attempts 2 business ventures that don't go well, some for his own fault and some for other people's fault. Has a fiance that he's in love with, and she passes away before they get married. Loses not one, but 2 children in his lifetime at 11 years old and at 16 years old. 2 of his boys die. Runs for office countless times and more often than not fails, sometimes in humiliating fashion. And then, when he finally is elected as president of the United States, it is his election that literally ignites a spark that causes a war that would cost 600,000 lives in America. Abraham Lincoln didn't stop when times got tough. He rested on his faith and what he felt God's Spirit was telling him. And if you read the chronicles of what he felt and his belief system and how he was trying to honor God with what he did, despite all those horrible things and dealing with depression himself and his wife suffering from mental illness and having to deal with that, and naysayers all the time, we look back and think that this was just the greatest time and he just was making all the wise decisions. Do you know that after he gave the Gettysburg Address, he thought it was a complete failure? Even wrote to one of his friends that he was embarrassed at what he had said. But he pressed on trying to honor God and doing what legacy and living out the legacy he felt he was called to do. James 1, back to James chapter 1 and verse 12 says this, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." One of the most important times to stay committed to your legacy is when things get tough. That's what people are going to remember. That's what people are going to focus on. How did you handle the hard and difficult times? How does South Belt Church handle the hard and difficult times? What impact do we choose to make on people's lives? Romans 5, I want to read this passage for you. It starts in verse 1. It says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith," and in the previous chapter, Paul talks about faith and how we are justified by faith. And he says, "Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not push us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Paul says, man, when it gets pressure-packed, it's going to build character. And the character is going to lead to even more joy and more hope, because you're going to have to lean on the only thing that is true and secure in this universe, and that is the love of God. A time of crisis gives us a great opportunity not only to live out a legacy for those in our families, but it gives us opportunity to make a difference. On the way to church this morning, and I do this a lot, especially when I'm going to preach, and I'll drive around the neighborhoods just because I want my heart to be concerned with the community. And I drove around, and all I was thinking was, man, opportunity, 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 opportunity. All these houses, all these people. I go by donut shops. Everywhere there are people in our community that just need to know the simple message that God loves them and he sacrificed his son for them. As we wrap things up and as the worship team comes forward, I want you to consider whether or not you and whether or not we are taking those opportunities. As Christ followers, is our legacy about taking and striking out in a life that's going to be about loving God first and foremost and loving our community to the point where we would not miss a single opportunity to share his love and his grace? I want to end with this. It's never too late to start your legacy. That's the absolutely incredible news. It's the incredible news of Scripture from the beginning, is that it's not too late to make a change. David had to make corrections. Moses had to make corrections. We all have to make corrections, but it's not too late to say, what is the end going to look like for me, and to start? I want to read Romans 5, those last two verses. It says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Christ left us a legacy. In incredibly hard times, he decided to take everything on, all our sin, all our faults, all our failures, all the depression or sadness we might feel, and he decided to make it complete joy by taking away and covering all that and giving us an opportunity to have relationship with him and the Father. Would you hang on to that? Would you make that the focus of whatever you do with your legacy for here on out? We're going to pray in just a second, and the worship team is going to play one last song. I'll be off to the side if anybody wants to talk to me, or you can meet me afterwards. But man, consider your legacy. Don't let that time just pass. Sit down, maybe with your partner or maybe with a friend, and think, what is it that I want the end to look like? What legacy do I want to leave behind? Would you pray with me? Father, thank you so much for leaving us the legacy you did, loving us unconditionally, leaving us the legacy of a son who would die in sacrifice for those that didn't deserve it, to give grace and mercy. Would you allow us to do the same in a world that is not giving any grace or any mercy or any forgiveness? Would you help us be the difference makers? In your name I pray. Amen.